Hey, this is Michelle Anderson, north of Bangor, and I'm still in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, and I am about to interview Michael Shaw, the founder of Freedom 21. So, here is Michael Shaw. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, Michelle. It's nice to be here.
And can you tell my viewers why you are here?
Well, I spoke at the American Freedom Policies conference called Freedom Action. And, you know, I spoke about what I always speak about all around the country, which is Sustainable Development Agenda 21.
Okay. And I understand that they've changed yet again. They've changed their name or changed the auspices.
Well, Agenda 21 is a pretty consistent program. Aspects of that program that are being implemented in the United States are always having to change their names when they run into trouble, whether it's the Wildlands Project changing the Wildlands Network, or the Trans-Texas Corridor, the infrastructure for bringing goods in from central Mexico all throughout North America has changed its name. I'm not even sure what the new name is. But these programs never die. Even if we're able to defeat them on the short term, they come back in a few years under new guises. And, you know, the disturbing part comes from an understanding of what Agenda 21 or sustainable development is. You know, it's a program that seeks to abolish private property. It doesn't happen in one fell swoop, but we feel these thousand pricks that come at us in the property rights area. Today, the environmental movement combined with the new economic system that arises under Agenda 21, which is public-private partnership, which is really nothing more than a polite euphemism for old-fashioned economic fascism. And that is the system of economics that our Congress has adopted, and it has filtered down through every state and now is in every county. We have Agenda 21 or sustainable development programs throughout the country. There's not a county that does not have sustainability programs, whether it relates to natural resources or it may relate to development standards in communities. Urban centers are now all subject to smart growth mandates, which is the urban element of Agenda 21. And the Wildlands Project or Wildlands Network is the rural aspect of the land use program under Agenda 21. And the idea is that these rural areas that are designated as wildland areas, and northern Maine is part of that, Rocky Mountain system is part of that. That is the largest corridor under the Wildlands Project. It extends all the way from the Yukon up toward the Arctic Circle in Canada, down through the Yucatan in central Mexico, and cuts a huge swath across the west and with a wing that comes out along the Pacific coast, including the Cascade Mountains and the Sierra Mountains in California, where I'm from. And so the whole country has been subjected to this dynamic that works to abolish private property. Environmentalism is always the excuse. You know, we've got to, you know, save the endangered snail darter or long-toed salamander or whatever, you know, little species can be identified in any area that doesn't have large populations. And so private property is just being attacked, you know, the idea of private property. It's, you know, it's a sad condition, really, Michelle, in that Americans today, thanks to our educational system, which is also imbued with the Agenda 21 program, it's a program for the training of our youth to become global citizens, the unfortunate part is that young people are no longer learning what private property is. People are no longer being informed as to the nature of unalienable rights. That was the reason for the American Revolution, was so that there would, for the first time in history, could be the political recognition of every individual's unalienable rights. That is the right to life, liberty, and property. This new globalist program under the banner of Agenda 21, usually called Sustainable Development in local communities, seeks to abolish the political recognition of unalienable rights. Sustainable development policy, it's a written policy. There's nothing theoretical or conspiratorial about this. It's spelled out in the UN's Global Biodiversity Assessment Report, calls for a reduction in human population from today's level of about 7 billion to a level of 1 billion. Now, that's an 85% reduction in human population. Our youth aren't being told that, but they're being told that the environmental crises are so great that we must conform our whole political and economic process to the preservation of nature. But that's the guise. That's the guise for the creation of a worldwide totalitarian governmental system. It is the advent of a world order, and it's something about which every American needs to be immensely concerned, because this is the greatest threat ever faced by humanity, because at no point in human history has there been a viable movement to a world government, a totalitarian world government at that, and today we're right on the verge. It's it's been a long time process of people like the Fabian socialists that come out of Great Britain and have had a strong representation here in America, particularly here in the Northeast, where the idea is that we would move into a world where all power is centralized and controlled. And there's lots of mechanisms for them to be able to achieve that, and they're exercising many of those methods today. But George Bernard Shaw, who was an early Fabian socialist, said in the early days of Fabianism that they would, quote, crawl like a turtle for as long as it takes. But when they could see the finish line, they would create a buzzing, whirling confusion as they ran across the clearing to get to the other side. And that's what is happening now. It's, under the Barack Obama regime, that has become apparent that it is his mission to get us to that clearing on the other side. The good news here is that the globalists, who are the people behind this movement, are really stumbling all over themselves. They've had a giant collapse with their global warming scam. The public is now pretty much aware of that. The federal government's having to back off its policies in respect to global warming, etc. The issue there remains that local communities are still implementing policies, always property right destroying policies, to implement global warming dynamics. I'm from Santa Cruz, California, and we have a global warming czar in our city, as though he's going to have an effect in abating the 20-meter rise in the oceans, the Al Gore predicts. I mean, of course, all this is nonsense, but it gives local governments, like where I live, the excuse to impose these drastic requirements on property owners, all in the name of protecting the climate. And as this issue fades, that is the global warming issue fades, they're already gearing up for their next onslaught within the environmental movement so they can continue the process of abrogating the exercise of one's beneficial use of their property. And this new regime will be biodiversity concerns. And so we're going to see
what does that mean?
Well, that means that lands have to be set aside so that diverse species can live happily ever after on those landscapes. So this is what the Wildlands Project is all about, is the removal of human beings from over 50% of the American landmass. It's not only the removal of human beings, but it's the elimination of all resource extraction from those lands. So that's why people in California, in the Sierras, or in the Rockies, or in northern Maine can't cut trees anymore, because they're protecting the biodiversity of those regions. And this process is going to continue until people wake up to understand that sustainable development is a euphemism for world government. It's a world government where your unalienable rights to life, to liberty, and to property will no longer be recognized in this country. And at that point, humanity will suffer through the most difficult period that humans have ever experienced, as population is dramatically reduced, and as human beings that do survive that will be turned into drones. Drones working for a ruling elite in whatever pursuit that elite sets them upon. So the idea that you as an individual are a unique, special being made in the image and likeness of God, will be abandoned formally and for a long time, if not forever. So that's why this is the grandest battle that Americans or human beings, for that matter, have ever faced, because it's very insidious. They've promised us that this will be a war fought without guns. They do it through legislatures. They do it through pinning groups and people off against each other. They do it by undermining the base of American society and of freedom itself, which is the idea of private property. After all, it was George Washington who said, freedom and private property are inseparable.
Now, if I have any listeners who are sitting there listening and saying to themselves, gee, I wonder if that affects me. I wonder if sustainable development is in my neck of the woods. How can they tell that, indeed, there is something going on where they are?
Well, the good news today, as opposed to even 5 years ago, is that most Americans just know something's wrong. The economy's falling apart. The political process makes no sense. We have a president. We've had presidents for a long while who act as kings, making executive orders. Barack Obama's been a chief at doing that, and will continue to do that. So if we can set as a baseline that the public knows that there is something wrong, the question is, what is wrong? My study over 10 years of full-time work and working with many other people who make full-time work out of studying the globalist movement tells us that every county has implemented sustainability policies, every county in the country. That affects you. Let's say you're a young person and you don't own anything. Well, the idea that private property is to be abolished, right out of the Marxist plank, that when private property is abolished, human life itself, human beings become chattel, because private property starts with your being. You know, my hand is my private property. My thoughts are my private property. All that I do is my property. It's private to me. But private property also includes my relationship with something. Land itself is not private property. It's the relationship that the land's owner has to the property that allows him to direct its use and draw enjoyment from that, that is the essence of private property. But if private property is abolished, then you are no longer in, you're not only not in control of what had been your land or had been your car or had been your book, you're not in control of your being. Because without the recognition, the political recognition of political property, of private property, there is no ownership of yourself. And that's when society becomes enslaved. So every American has a very rooted interest in making sure that the idea of private property that was, you know, fought for and delivered to us by our ancestors as they fought through a revolutionary war to secure these rights. I mean, that's what the American government was for, was to secure these rights, is about to be abolished. In fact, you know, I'm a Californian, and I can tell you that in California, private property has been abolished. And I don't think that's really much different in any other state. I think Maine is just as far along as California. You may not be as broke as we are, but you are just as enslaved or on the verge of enslavement as a result of your land policies and in the policies that exist in Maine with respect to private property. Your legislature's taken no proactive action to protect private property. In fact, your legislature, like our legislature, has bought into this green thing, which is really a cover for transforming our systems of government, transforming our system of justice, and transforming our system of economics. And, you know, to expand on that a little bit, the system of justice is moving from a system of equal justice, which is what was called for in the Declaration of Independence. That's what our forefathers fought for. The idea of equal justice is that every person has the same rights as every other person. And it's built upon a system where there's an acknowledgement, a political acknowledgement, that every individual possesses certain unalienable rights that are simply imbued. They're a part of the human condition. Now, that's what made America the grandest experiment in all of human history, because we were the first country, it was the first time and really the only time in human history where the idea of unalienable rights was politically recognized. And today that's fading away. So equal justice is based upon that principle. And as a result, you know, the pursuit of law in this country was designed to be one where every human being had those protections guaranteed to him by the government.